I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. This is a teach show and not a talk show. This is just not your average talk show. I'm just absolutely convinced of that. The more I listen to talk radio, the more I listen to what's popular in talk radio. I just wonder, will I ever be popular? I heard somebody new the other day, somebody who is apparently climbing up the charts and becoming more and more popular. And it concerns me. It concerns me what has become popular in America in talk shows. I mean, we know that regurgitating the news is popular. We know that hashing the same old media-driven narrative is what is popular. But, angry, screaming. No, I've gotten angry on my show. I don't think that I've ever screamed, but I've gotten angry. There are things that we should be angry about. There is a certain amount of righteous indignation that should be allowed. And I want you to know you won't find that here. So I'm just going to let you know straight up. I don't think that regurgitating the news, and I don't think that screaming anger, spitting anger, is productive today. I sure it drives our emotional centers, and maybe that's what we want. We are angry. We want to hear angry. I think that it's just not productive. Let's just put it that way. I think that we need to stop pointing fingers and start looking for solutions. Remember, the motto on this show is losers point fingers, winners find solutions. And I'm hoping to redirect the narrative, even if just a small crowd. If I don't ever become popular, there will be a remnant, a small brush fire of liberty-minded people who want to be educated in the truth, who want to be above the center, who want to be part of the new American Revolution. That's what we are here. We are building the new American Revolution. People who believe, as Patrick Henry believed, that although there may be those around us, as it is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope, there are those who are around us who are apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. See, this is what we need to understand. The song of the siren is coming from the media today. And everything that we are hearing is being directed by the media. And our emotions are being controlled by the media. Our reactions are being controlled by the media. And we have become nothing more than mindless beasts that are led about by the ring in our nose, by the siren song of the media. But Patrick Henry said, Is this the part of wise men, engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be of the number of those, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which so nearly concern their temporal salvation? See, there are a remnant. There has always been a remnant. There are a remnant? It was a remnant. There is a remnant. And there's always been a remnant that agrees with Patrick Henry that says, for my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. You see, there are some still, many still, who would rather just stay tuned in to the media, ride the emotional roller coaster, because it's fun. We are addicted. Can we admit today that we are absolutely addicted to drama? I mean, oh my goodness, look at what is popular in society today. These up and coming radio shows are surely indication of that. What we see on TV is indication of that. I mean, we can't get enough pretend drama that we have to get real TV drama. We have to intrude ourselves into other people's lives, engage in this magnificent display of voyeurism in order to increase our drama addiction. Feed it. Because we are transforming ourselves into beasts. But this show is about wise men. I hope. I endeavor. I desire this show to be about wise men. And you, the Liberty First Brigade, are the remnant of wise men. You are the remnant of wise men who say, I don't care how painful the truth is. I don't care how much the truth contradicts with what I have learned and what I hear on a daily basis. I am attached to the truth. I want to know the truth. I'm willing to know the truth. I'm driving to know the whole truth. And even if it's the worst, I want to know it so that I can provide for it. Now, Patrick Henry continues in his speech by saying, I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that's the lamp of experience. I know no way of judging the future but by the past. And judging by the past, he says, I wish to know what there has been in the conduct of our government for the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which gentlemen have so pleased to solace themselves. And the House... Yeah, I mean, how close is that? I mean, he's telling us that Patrick Henry is telling us that history repeats and that we can know our future by our past. And then he's mocking the House as if the people have all their hope in the House. And he's saying, what exactly is it in government that has given you hope that these people will help you? I just want to reiterate that today. The House, Republican Party, and now the Senate, Republican Party. What has actually happened in the last 10 years? What has been their conduct in the last 10 years to justify those hopes with which we've pleased ourselves into solace? He says, is it that insidious smile with which our petition has been lately received? When you go in, that smile that occurred on November when we elected a House and a Senate majority. Was it that insidious smile? Because I warned you on that day, nothing would happen. I warned you on that day that the only thing that would happen would be, well, you know, we can't do anything because the president won't do it. So we need to shoot for 2016 so we can have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican presidency. And you're hearing that now. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And now we have to be distracted by more. More drama. Oh, my goodness. I want to vomit when I see Ferguson. Come on. Seriously, people. How important is this on the national scale? I will not remove the importance for the business owners in Ferguson. This is a tragedy. This is a travesty. This is an indication of the moral depravity in which we have become in America. Has an indication of America's now true God. You know, I did a Facebook post this weekend, one that was the truth, but apparently highly controversial. But you see, Ferguson shows us the moral depravity of this country, the fact that we can do nothing as individuals, as property owners, for the absolute protection of our property. We have been politically corrected into our own destruction. And this is obviously a huge piece of our depravity. But on a smaller scale, Black Friday shows us the same thing. As my commentary said on Facebook, dyslexia this morning. I believe Black Friday is one of the saddest days of the year, and aptly named. What amazing reflection of the true God of America. What an amazing reflection of the depravity that has overcome this once great land, yet we point fingers at Ferguson. Hey, Black Friday shoppers, cast the first stone. You know, I don't know, I haven't talked about this on the show or not, but my husband is now sailing a boat to Haiti on a mission trip to bring essential supplies to the people of Haiti, things that we can run down to Walgreens and buy without a thought. I mean, like medicine, not that toy for Black Friday. America's become a place for spiritual savages, hunting and plundering for emptiness. And people were just overwhelmed with offense by those statements. Why? Because don't attack America's God, the God of stuff.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I point out how Congress is depriving us of our liberty on a daily basis. I point out how the president is rewriting not just laws, but history. I even show in my posts sometimes the biblical truth and the greatness of God. As I did on Sunday, the greatness of forgiveness. And none of those get the reaction from people as I did when I called Black Friday a dark day. When I called Black Friday a reflection of America's true God. When I said that America has become a place for spiritual savages hunting and plundering for emptiness because of Black Friday. You get a really good indication of where you stand when you find out what offends you. You see, I like throwing out statements like that because I don't have to call people names. I don't have to be angry and insulting. I can just throw out pearls of truth and watch people classify themselves. One man says, "Were you mistreated as a child, Chris Ann?" I've seen, this is the second post I've seen that basically slams Christmas. Hello? Black Friday? A criticism of the behavior of Black Friday slams Christmas? I'm still waiting for people to show me the biblical connection between shopping and sales and Christmas. I'm still waiting for that. I had one person attack me. Literally say to me, how dare you? People wait for this sale to meet their needs. People who can't afford, people who are not working, people who are unemployed, wait for this day to meet their needs. I'm sorry, sister. If they're waiting for Black Friday once a year to meet their needs, they've starved to death. Because the last time I checked, a big screen TV is not a need. Buying things that we can't afford. Buying things that we don't need. Buying things to impress people that don't care. Is not buying essentials. Is not surviving. It's wickedness. There's a really great guy named Dave Ramsey who has a program about financial freedom. He's saying he's buying things that we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even know is spiritual wickedness. And then she ended her post with, people are buying these things to be generous and help families who can't help themselves. What have you done over the last year, Chris Ann, to help people? Let me tell you what, I claim no act. I claim no deed. All of my deeds fall short in the light of those who have sacrificed in history. All of my deeds fall short in the light of what Christ did for me on the cross. I don't do this. I don't do what I do for notice. But I just want to point out that if mentioning that America has become a place for savages, spiritual savages hunting and plundering and for emptiness, and that America's God has become stuff, offends you, if those statements offend you, then maybe you've classified yourself. Because see, I'm not offended by those statements because stuff is not my God. It doesn't apply to me. But if you're offended, then maybe we need to reevaluate some things personally, won't you think? It's time to wake up from the siren song. It's time to get dedicated to liberty. It's time to be a liberty-minded people and direct ourselves to its preservation, not our stuff. And some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So I like to use Facebook as a tool to gather the temperature of society. Now, I know I only have a small portion of society on my Facebook page and a rather skewed reflection of it, considering most of the people who gravitate to my site are what the mainstream media people would call right wing. But I do get some lefties quite a bit, and I'm proud to have the lefties. I think that's awesome because there are more than more people who would voluntarily classify themselves as the left who are becoming liberty-minded. So I like to throw things out there on Facebook and just sort of gauge the temperature. And so that's why you hear about my Facebook posts sometimes, because it's me. It's me gauging the temperature and getting feedback from society. I don't have call-in shows. I would love to have a call-in show, but my schedule, oh my goodness, all those things when I'm not doing anything for anybody throughout the whole year, keeps me on the road so much that I can't actually record on a regular schedule. Sometimes I'm recording at 6 a.m. Sometimes I'm recording at 3 a.m. Sometimes I'm recording at 3 p.m. But I'm doing this because I love truth, and I love teaching the truth. I love the idea of bringing just spiritual awakeness of and truth awakeness and all of this stuff in the face of the overwhelming lies we are consumed with today. I love getting feedback from people who are loving the show. We took a break. We took a break last week for the Thanksgiving holiday. I spent some quality time with my son. Now, my husband is off in Haiti. Well, he's not in Haiti yet. He's on a sailboat on his way to Haiti on a mission trip. And so it's just me and my son for Thanksgiving this year. And we spent some quality time together, just him and me, he and I. What's the my? I'm missing my grammar god. My husband is my grammar king. He could be able to correct me on that. That's a confusing one for me. I think it's him and I, spending some time with me. Him and me. See, these things matter to me. I may not always get them right, but they do matter to me. But anyway, we spent some quality time together, and I didn't want to have to do that. I didn't want to have to interrupt that with the radio show. So he was very important. He is very important to me, and that's the time. Daddy is just now gone. He needs some special time. And I had some people contact me on Facebook because there's not a new podcast go out when I rerun. And so it seems like on the podcast archives, we run silent, or on the app. If you have my mobile app, you get an alert every day of the podcast being released. Or you're following me on Twitter. It's tweeted every day, on Facebook, posted every day. And we went silent for a few days, and I had people contacting me, "Chrisanne, how do I find your podcast archives? I'm missing you this week. I can't stand it." Do you know how awesome that is? I just think that's great. I have people who contact me and say, "I'm a truck driver, Chrisanne. I'm on the road this week. That means I get a dose. We're going to go on a Chrisanne Hall marathon." That is so awesome to me. It's not a Chrisanne Hall marathon. It's a truth marathon. A truth marathon. Because that's what we're about. Giving you the truth. And I just want to know, what are you missing? As the media dictates our narrative, as we focus on Keystone, because that's Republicans' battle they've picked up. They want us to focus on Keystone. They want us to be consumed by their efforts for Keystone. But in previous show, we've shown how that's just a total lie. It's an absolute farce. There is no controversy over Keystone. It's a contrived controversy. Oh my goodness. I want you to go to your favorite search engine and plug in oil pipelines in the United States, and then search for images of pipelines in the United States. Don't do oil pipelines, just do pipelines, okay? Because they're all underground, they all do the same thing. Pipelines in the United States, and then look for images. America looks like a stinking spider web. There is not a single solitary state that does not have a crisscrossing of pipelines. This drama about Keystone is totally contrived to keep you occupied. It is a complete false drama. There should be a no-brainer about this. And it should be a no-brainer because the federal government should have nothing to say about it. If the states want to get together and build a pipeline, then they should do it. The states just should just say, you know what, we're going to cooperate with each other and we're going to create this pipeline because we want this for us. And just say, to the federal government, to Congress, to the president, we don't give a flip about you. This is our land, and we're going to do what we please. These are our minerals, and we will do what we please. It's not federal minerals. It's state minerals. It's privately owned minerals, and we're going to do what we want. Keystone is a big, fat lie. Immigration, also a big, fat lie. A drama to string us along forever, because the Republicans have already said, we're doing nothing. Michelle Bachmann told us, that she was shocked. They're doing nothing. Michelle Bachmann is shocked. The Republicans are doing nothing. Wow. I think that says a lot about Michelle Bachmann. All the years she spent in Congress, what have they actually done? Nothing. If immigration is such a big issue, then the states should stand up and do something about it. The states should say, okay, Congress, by the Constitution, has the authority to write law about naturalization. No. The only thing Congress has the right to do via the Constitution regarding naturalization is to establish uniform naturalization standards. Not enforcement, standards. Enforcement was left to the states. The federal government has decided naturalization standards. Those are already on the books, people. And now the states should be enforcing them. And they should be saying, to the federal government, to the president's amnesty, get out of our state, ICE. We'll take care of this ourselves. Because that's the power that was left to them. That was one of the many numerous and indefinite powers reserved to the states, as Madison explains in Federalist 45. And Ferguson. Oh my goodness, can you get a more scripted protest? Can you get a more scripted piece of depraved violence? And yet, it's real TV, isn't it? It's exactly what it is. It's the Truman Show. And we're addicted. We're absolutely engaged. And we cannot pull away. I don't know. Are you familiar with The Truman Show? The movie with Jim Carrey about the boy who was raised on television and he didn't know it? Oh my goodness, at the applications there. America raised on television and we don't even recognize it. You are being dictated to. What are we missing? What are we missing? We're missing that the federal government is still out of control. We're missing that the IRS is still getting away with using people as political fodder. Do you know, there's a long story about how I came to do this. I was a prosecutor here in the state of Florida. And I started teaching this on my own time, truth about the Constitution. And my boss at that time was a left-wing radical, more DNC than Southern Democrat. And he didn't like it. And he gave me an ultimatum. He said, you can speak to right-wing fringe groups. You can teach that the government should be limited, or you can work for me. He told me, literally, this is what he said. Teaching a limited government is an ethical conflict of interest for anyone who works for the government. Interesting, isn't it? This is what people believe. And he told me, you can teach these things and you can associate with these people or you can work for me. Well, I know what my rights are. He is the government. He cannot dictate to me who I associate with and who and what I speak about. Those are essential inherent rights codified in the First Amendment. And I told him, I said, these are my First Amendment rights. You can't take them away from me. He said, I don't care. I'm the boss. And you'll do as I say. I say, guess what? My liberty's worth more than your paycheck. So I won't quit. I won't quit my job, and I won't quit speaking. I won't quit associating. So do what you have to do. So he fired me. That's great, isn't it? He fired me. Well, he was then later indicted, well, almost indicted, by the governor and a grand jury. For what? For using his political position to do background checks on political opponents. So using his government position, his authority to do background checks on political opponents, and the state of Florida convened a grand jury. Now, they didn't prosecute him either. They let him take a plea bargain that said he couldn't run for office again. But you see, even on a smaller scale, there was a hearing and nothing. And the same thing happens in Congress to the IRS. Using its government position to harass political opponents. Congress having a congressional hearing and doing absolutely nothing. At least in my former boss's case, he was actually given a plea deal. Congress won't even do that. And this is what we're missing when we're so involved and raptured by Ferguson, immigration, and Keystone. There's more we're going to discuss. The UN Arms Treaty. How about that one?
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The UN Arms Treaty comes up every year. Every year, big drama about the UN Arms Treaty. I'm waiting. It's never been ratified by the Senate. But I'm still, I think we are ripe now for a president who will try to enforce it. We are... blinded by this idea that the president can do whatever he wants. We have this idea that Obama is a CEO of America, the leader of America. When did we get into this idea that the president is the leader of the country? The president is not the leader of America. Congress, if you want to put a leadership in government, that would be Congress. The president is merely the international spokesperson for Congress on behalf of the states and the people. Because you see, the real leaders of America are supposed to be the people and their states. The people through the House of Representatives, the states through the Senate, and the president is to have no voice independent of the House and the Senate. The president has no autonomy. The president has no sovereignty. The only voice he has comes from the House and the Senate, but we have totally, totally missed that and been brainwashed for decades out of that idea because we want a monarchy. You have a monarchy, America. It's time for a glorious revolution. It really is a time for a glorious revolution in this country. The Glorious Revolution is an amazing revolution in British history where the revolution came and hardly a shot was fired. The king got so scared of the will of the people that he jumped on his horse and abdicated his throne. We need an abdication here. We need to return power to the people. And the president doesn't have the authority to enforce a UN small arms treaty that has not been ratified. And by the way, Congress doesn't have the authority to enforce a UN small arms treaty even if it's been ratified. You see, there are some truths about this treaty that we must know. The power to create treaties is established in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution. The power to create a treaty is delegated by the people to the president with the approval of 2/3 vote of the Senate. And the Supremacy Clause makes a treaty the supreme law of the land under very specific conditions. The Constitution and the laws of the United States which be made shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, which is made in pursuance of the Constitution, shall be the supreme law of the land. So no treaty is the supreme law of the land unless it's made with the authority of the United States, which is only made in pursuance to the Constitution. So no treaty is valid unless it is in compliance with the Constitution. And we have to understand that our framers understood this. Our framers were very clear about this. Listen to this definition of treaty by James Madison in Federalist 75. The power of making treaties is plainly neither one nor the other. It relates neither to the execution of subsisting laws nor the enaction of new ones, and still less to an exertion of common strength. Its objects are contracts with foreign nations, which have the force of law, but derive from it the obligations of good faith. They are not rules prescribed by the sovereign to the subject, but agreements between sovereign and sovereign. They are contracts between foreign governments and not mechanisms to create laws enforced on the people. Listen to what Jefferson said in 1793. He said, I insisted that in giving to the President and the Senate a power to make treaties, the Constitution meant only to authorize them to carry into effect by way of treaty any power they might constitutionally exercise. He also said in 1800, by the general power to make treaties, the Constitution must have been intended to comprehend only those subjects which are usually regulated by treaty and cannot otherwise be regulated. It must have meant to except out these rights reserved to the states. For surely the President and the Senate cannot do by treaty what the whole government is interdicted from doing in any way. The government cannot infringe on your Second Amendment by treaty, and they can't do it any other way. It's time we wake up and realize we are the people, and we will not be subject to the federal government. And the solution is always the same. Refuse to comply, personally and on the state level. God bless.